So I'm going to ask you a question tonight. How many knew I was going to ask you a question tonight? You should know because we're in the what if series. Everybody say what if. So I'm asking depth charge questions to help us to ask ourselves really where we are. And I really started in the praise and worship time asking you, what if you made yourself available to God? What if you made yourself available to God? Many times, and we all can understand this. How many busy? Raise your hands. Okay. Try that again. How many busy? Raise your hands. Okay. Most of us are so busy, and we have so much to do. But how many know that our life is only for a short time? You know what? How many old enough to recognize our life is only for a short time? And it seems like the older we get, how many would confess this, that it seems like, it's not true, but it seems like the older you get, the faster time goes. And what I'm suggesting is, hey, let's take inventory of our life tonight. And let's ask ourselves, because here's what the Bible says. And different people believe different things. But let me tell you what, somebody's right and somebody's wrong. Hello? See, some people believe that there's only one way to God, and it's through Jesus. You know who's one of the people who believes that? Jesus. See, it's so interesting to me to people, oh, yes, because most people, you know what, will profess that Jesus was a wise man, Jesus was an intellectual, Jesus was a great philosopher, you know what I mean, great, you know, all this. Let me tell you what Jesus, according to your definition, great philosopher, wise man, loving person, let me tell you what Jesus said, I am the only way to get to my Father. That's what he said. So, then there's other people. I could name names, but I won't. But there's many people who say, no. Jesus wasn't right. You can get to heaven through all kinds of different manners. Okay. Well, how many know somebody's right and somebody's wrong? I pick Jesus. That's what I pick. I pick Jesus. And even the people that are saying, no, there's always, you know what? They're picking something too. They're picking that there's all kinds of different ways. Jesus said, no, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one gets to the Father except through me. Now, that, how many know that is not politically correct in our world nowadays? It's very, because somebody say, no, that's not inclusive, Pastor. We need to be inclusive. Well, let me tell you about God's inclusiveness. God is absolutely inclusive to say, anyone, I don't care what your background is, you can come into the family of God. Anyone, how many know God will accept anyone in his family? But you have to come into his family the way he says to come into his family. No. I want to come as family the way I want to come as family. God says, You are not. And you say, Pastor, where does that come? Here's where that comes from. Man's arrogance. That's where it is. It ultimately comes from man's arrogance. No. God, you're not going to tell me. I'm going to tell you. Well, I would confess and I would say that is way not smart. Really, really, really not smart. I think it would be much more smarter to, because what I see is that when we walk in humility, humble yourself before the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you. The Bible says that God resists the proud. I don't want to be resisted by God, so I want to walk in that humility. Now, let me tell you what God says. He says, here's what's going to happen. At the end, how many know there's going to be an end? No, 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 we're going to live. We're just going to keep on going, keep on going, keep on going, keep on going, keep on going. No, it's not. There will be an end. And you know what the Bible says? The Bible says everybody's going to say, there's no end, there's no end, there's no end. The Bible says that the second coming of Christ is going to be just like Noah. You know what they were saying? That when Noah was building that ark, took him over 100 years to build that ark. They laughed at him. They mocked him. They're like, ah, that's an, you know, that's ridiculous. But how many know when the rain started coming at some point in time? And I'm just wondering, I don't know, I wasn't there, but at what point in time do you finally recognize you were wrong? You know what? At toe deep? Is that when you recognize? No, at ankle deep. At knee deep. At waist deep. I think at waist deep, most people finally got it. Right? You said, but Pastor, that's a mean God who would do that. Well, can I tell you what? Listen, you can slice it any way you think it is. But if you read the Bible, you'd find out. No, no, no. It was a loving God. Because at that point in time, men were so evil. All of their thoughts, continually, they were only evil. And the Bible said, bad company corrupts good morals. He was about to lose the whole thing. And it was down to one family that had some form of righteousness that he saved. And that's why he saved it. He saved it for mankind. Can somebody say amen to this? So what I'm saying, but I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that at the end, here's what's going to happen. It's going to happen to you. It's going to happen to me. You can believe it's going to happen. You cannot believe it's going to happen. Amen? Amen. Amen? Amen? You ever been waiting for the bus? You know, eight people waiting for the bus. You know what? Eight people waiting for the bus. And somebody says, you know what? And at some point in time, you know what? One of the eight says, been waiting. Man, I've been waiting a whole 4 minutes. I don't think the bus is coming. And he walks away. Amen? And then somebody, and then now you got seven. And no, I've been waiting for a whole 10 minutes. And now you got five. And now you got four. And now you got three. And now you got two. And you can leave it with one person. But can I tell you what? That bus is coming. And that one person that believes the bus is coming is going to get on the bus. And when he's rolling on the bus and he sees all the six people that, you know what, left already, he can wave to them, but he's on the bus. I don't know about you, but I won't get on the bus. I'm getting on the bus, amen? I am getting on the bus. Let me testify, God is true. This is not a make-believe book. This isn't Harry Potter. Amen. What's the elephant with the big ears? This isn't Dumbo. This isn't made up. This is real. And he's coming again. The question isn't, is he coming or is he not? The question is, are you one of those who are going to stick around and see and get on the bus? That is the only question. And there will be people who get on the bus, and there will be people who do not get on the bus. That's the truth. But when that happens, here's what the Bible says he's going to do. He's going to take all our works. What's your works? All stuff you did. You know what? You did embroidery. You did crochet. You played soccer. You played kickball. All the stuff you did. You ran a business. You were a teacher. All the stuff. You rented a video. You bought some Doritos. All the stuff we do is going to be thrown into the lake of fire. Why? Because there's stuff, because God is going to say, okay, I'm going to see what you did that was valuable. And I'm going to see what you did that was just self-centered. And the self-centered stuff I'm going to burn away. And the only things that can be left, that's which is valuable. Well, Pastor, why, why you got so heavy right out of the start? Here's why. Because it's the question. And we live a life where it's this continual, hey, what about, you know what? What about you? What about you? Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says in the end days, men will become lovers of self rather than lovers of God. They don't care about the things of God. That's why if you're dating somebody who doesn't care about the things of God, you know what? Oh, no. I'm married already, but if I'm single, I'm not going to marry somebody who shows up to church once a month. Why? Because I show up all the time. See? And if you're one of those people who show up once a month or whatever, hey, change. Amen? Because let me tell you, you're running out of time. Listen, you and me are the same. Today, we got one less day before the end. We're all running out of time. You know what? So, what if... But I want to get on the positive because I want to paint a picture of a life that is like a life that your life was designed for. Your life was not designed. If you're going to live in the quality you want to live in, your life was designed to be a service to God. You go, Pastor, what do you want me to do? You want me to get on a plane and, you know, go to Africa and become a missionary? I don't know. Here's what I say. If that's what you're supposed to do, that's where you're going to be fulfilled in doing it. You could stay here and make, you know what, $40 an hour and be miserable for the rest of your life. But I would submit to you, for most of you in this room, you're not called to go to Africa. You're called to go to Pico Rivera. Amen? Amen? There's nothing wrong with missionaries. But let me tell you what missionaries have to do. They have to go to the foreign country. They have to learn the language. They have to learn all the customs. You know what I mean? And then they can start being, to some extent, effective. You don't have to do any of that. I would submit this to you, that you already are a missionary. That God has placed you strategically right where he wants you. But what you need to do is start living that life surrendered to Jesus Christ, that you would start being more effective where you are. What if, just imagine with me, what if you lived a life and you made yourself available to God? Well, let's talk about it for a minute. Jonah. What did he say? You know what? Jonah said what a lot of people do. You know what? Thanks, but no thanks. I want to go. You know what I mean? I don't want to go. Look what Jonah says. And now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, whatever, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, a great city, and cry out against it, for the wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah arose. Actually, go back to number 2, just a side point, but I want to make it. Notice, you know what? Listen, God isn't against anyone. He's for everyone. He's for people who are even full of wickedness. See, that's the heart of God. God's heart is that none would perish. Well, only thing God's sending people. God ain't sending anybody to hell. Let me say that again. God ain't sending anybody to hell. God sent his son to rescue you from hell. If you won't take the life jacket called Jesus as he's throwing it, how many times has God spoke to you and said, you need Jesus, you need Jesus, you need Jesus? You keep on throwing it back. At some point in time, listen, that's your choice, but that's not his, because he sent his son to rescue you. Jesus isn't sending anybody to hell. Jesus, God, is trying to save the wicked. Oh, no, nobody's wicked. That gets my point. I'll get to that in a minute. for their wickedness has come up before me. He sees what's going on. Oh, no, I'll just smoke a joint in the corner. Nobody will see me. God sees you. Amen. Oh, just have sex in the dark. You know what? I'll just have an adulterous relationship, you know, on the internet. Nobody will see. God sees it. You're wicked, and I'll just talk behind somebody's back, and I'll just talk on the phone to my girlfriend about, he hears you. The wickedness has come up before him. He sees it all. But watch God's, what's God's heart? God's heart is, let me send somebody to help him. Amen? But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish for the presence of the Lord. He's going the other way. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. The other way, wrong way. So he paid the fare. Man, I'm going to pay it. I don't care if it costs me. I don't want to do what God wants me to do. God, thanks, but no thanks. And people do it all the time. People come to church all the time. And they don't want to serve. They don't want to give. They just want their life. This is really hard, but can somebody hear me? Can I tell you why not serving is so evil? Somebody want to know? Let me tell you why not serving is so evil. Because God wants to save lost people. Did you catch that? Yeah. See, you can. How many know it's easy to find fault, and it's easier to find Jonah's fault, right? It's easier to find fault in other people, and that's not a negative thing because we can learn from it. I mean, it can be, but anyway, my point is, do you see what he's doing? God wants to use him, and he wants them to be used in going this direction. But when he buys a fare to go in this direction, he is going away from the very thing, the very people that God loves. And what's it about? Here's what it's about. It's about his selfishness of what he wants. Can I be honest with somebody? I'm smiling, right? I'm going to say it, and it sounds harsh, but take it in its context. I'm smiling, right? Okay, I'm smiling, right? Listen, I don't care if you don't want to serve. Are you catching this? Here, let me just ask you. Ask yourself, who doesn't want to serve? What part of you doesn't want to serve? It's your flesh. It's your flesh. And if you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. If you sow to flesh, you're going to reap corruption. So what you need to do is you need to, you know what? I mean, of course. Can we be honest here? Of course we don't want to serve. Huh? Of course we don't want to serve. But we need to override our flesh, how our flesh thinks and how our flesh feels and how our flesh think. You know, don't submit to your flesh. Submit to your spirit. Amen. And can I make this point? The more you submit to the spirit, the easier it will become to submit to the spirit. So Jonah's a great bad example of what you don't want to do. What's another good bad example? Moses. What did Moses say? Here's what Moses said. Moses said, "Hey God, get someone else." Right? No, Jason does that. Jason does the park light ministry. You know what I mean? He does that. I'm going to come early and put on that orange vest and smile at people like, yeah, I don't do it. He does that. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? It's, no. God is speaking to all of us. All of us can serve. Moses, and watch this, and Moses said, no, I can't do that because, watch this, because of my lack of ability. Hey, I got news for you. I love you guys. God ain't picking you because of your ability anyway. Can somebody say amen to this? Why do we think God's picking? You know what I mean? No, no, no. Can I tell you what? When you see someone who is, and I don't care what it is. I don't care whether it's singing or whether it's serving or whether it's, you know what, any aspect of service that you see. You know what you're going to see? You're going to see somebody and you have no idea how inept they were 10 years ago. You have no idea. But their willingness. I heard a ministry, and this one guy said, "Oh my goodness, I had this guy. He kept on volunteering. He it was unbelievable how inept he was." He tells a story. He had a battery in his pocket, and the battery somehow started to leak a little bit, and it he had some change in his pocket, and it started to burn. And he went up to the evangelist and said, "You know what? I feel the power of the Holy Spirit. I feel my pocket burning right now." And that's one of these crazy stories. But he tells all these crazy stories of this servant of God that is just totally inept in so many areas. And he says, the Holy Spirit said, "Don't you dare let that man go." He says, you know what? He has people come to his church, and he says, you know what? They come in, and he says, they ask for this guy by name. I'll call him John. They say, "Hey, can you have John pick us up? John picked us up last time and from the airport, and man, he was a great servant. Can you have John pick us up?" He says he's one of the most anointed persons on his whole staff. Amen. And he said he wanted to fire him 30 times. The Holy Spirit said no. Can I tell you what? God hasn't chosen you for your abilities. It's the human. And let me tell you what. God can do a supernatural work in you. But you have to. Listen. But God did a supernatural work in Moses, didn't he not? But listen. But Moses had to be available to God. Can I tell you what? And God will do some extreme things to try to get you into, you know what, service. But can I tell you what? Ultimately, God will not force you into service. If you want to continue to say, "No, I'm too busy," then God will say, "Okay." What's a good example? Well, what's a great example? Is Isaiah. Oh, yeah. What's Isaiah? Here's what Isaiah says. Isaiah says, "Send me." Send me. Yeah, send me. Isaiah says, "I am available." Look at this. Isaiah 6:8. "I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And whom shall go for us?' Then I said," this is Isaiah, "'Here I am. Here am I. Send me." Man, that is our heart. That should be our cry. We should say, "No, no, no, God, send us. God, use us. Use us as a church. God, let this church, let Hope Community Church be a crazy, radical, different church that people love to serve, love to give, that people all over the place would see the love of God flowing out of our lives, and people's lives will be changed, not by just the preaching of the word, but by the expression of God's love that is seen through the congregation." Amen. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Isaiah is a great example. Now, I'm going to quickly go over some things that are going to help you to say yes. How many want some help in saying yes tonight? How many want some help in saying yes tonight? Well, I'm going to help you. Number one, you need to have a genuine experience in the presence of God. A genuine experience with the presence of God. Isaiah 6:1, look at this. Isaiah 6:1. In the year of the king Isaiah died, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his throne filled the temple. Here's what Isaiah, here's why Isaiah has a willingness to say, Lord, send me. Here's why. Because he experienced the presence of God. He experienced the presence of God. Can I tell you what? When you're in God's presence, there's just a overwhelming sense of, God, I love you. You know why you love God? Because God loved you first. And you feel that presence, and in that presence you have this mentality to say, God, what can I do to help? Can I tell you what? When you're in somebody's presence, when you start to, listen, when you start to have a relationship with God, you start to love what he loves. Amen? My kids, sometimes they like stuff that I'm not familiar with. My wife, you know what? She likes stuff that I'm not familiar with. But can I tell you what? When I fall in love with my wife, I begin to fall in love with things that she likes. When I fall in love with my kids, I start to like what they like. It just happens. When you fall in love with God, you start to fall in love with people that aren't in the family of God. And can I ask you a question? If we're not going to serve to bring those people in, who's going to do it? You know what his plan is? You. You're his plan. You know what the plan to save the world is? It's the church. We're the plan. We're the plan. And listen, and this, Pastor, but that sounds like a commercial. I know it is a commercial. But Saturday, you know what? Actually, not this Saturday, because we have a funeral. I'll talk to you about that in a minute. But you know what? Most Saturdays, we're here. And there's people who are praying for other people. And you can be part of that. There's people that hold signs. You know what? And people driving, because, listen, whether you're there or whether you're not, there's people who are driving in Pico Rivera, and their wife just sent them divorce papers. I'm telling you, whether you're there or not, there's people in Pico Rivera on Whittier Boulevard. We are just off Whittier Boulevard. Whether you're here or not, there's people in Pico Rivera this Saturday that are going to be driving. And last night, Friday night, they got a call and their kid was thrown in jail with the DUI. And I could go on and on and on. And if someone would just hold a sign that said, hey, we'll pray for you. We'll pray for your family. We'll pray for your marriage. We'll pray for your kids. Where would they get that sign? We have them. And we have a time. And we set it all up. And all you have to do is come and serve. Let me tell you what, they're here. They're driving, whether we come or whether we don't. And God says, no, 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 no. Feel my heart. Hang out with me. And you'll start to love what I love. And you'll start to fall in love with people you don't even know. Number one, get in his presence. It'll make it easier for you to serve. Number two, get a genuine sense of your own sinfulness. How many ever heard, I ain't that bad. Oh my goodness. I love you. You are that bad. You are, you know, I've said this before. You know, you've heard me say this before. You are all jacked up. We are all jacked up. Remember the guy who ran to Jesus? Oh, Jesus, good teacher. Jesus theologically corrects him. And that's what we're living. You know why people won't come to Jesus? Because most people think they don't need Jesus. Most people don't even believe in hell. Hell, that's crazy. Hell don't exist. You know, and everybody's, you know, if God does exist, he loves everyone. And everyone's going to heaven. Because after all, initially, ultimately, we're all good. Everybody look at me. What's she talking about, Jackson? No. Ultimately, we're all bad. We're all rotten. To the core. Pastor, that's not very positive. Oh, I'm positive. Amen. I'm sure of it. Here's what I'm saying. That humility to recognize where you're at will help you to have a humility that says, man, I got to help other people. Somebody helped you, right? How many are getting better? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Number one, we just have to recognize, get around God. You'll want to serve because you'll fall in love with what he falls in. Number two, recognize, you know what, your sinfulness. It'll help you to serve, to want to serve. Number three, a genuine understanding of God's grace. When you understand freely you have received, freely what? Yeah. Freely give. Look at Isaiah chapter 6, verse 6 and 7. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. Then the one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it. And he said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin is purged. Can I tell you what Isaiah recognized? Isaiah recognized how inept he was to minister. And so an angel takes this coal and he touches his lips with this coal. He has this vision, and I don't know exactly if it really happened or if it was just a dream or some kind of vision, but here's the reality. He sees it's not through his intelligence or his ability that he's going to minister, but the Holy Spirit, you know what, through this angel, touches his lips with this coal and says, hey, I'm taking away your iniquity. See, so many of us think, I can't minister. I don't have the ability. And many of us, how many remember all the sins that you've done? How many remember a ton of the sins you've done? So, Pastor, there's too many to remember. You know, I got nobody. But, you know, we remember a lot of them, do we not? Listen, when you start to recognize the grace of God in your life, it'll take you to your knees and you'll say, God, how can I help? Look at Psalms 103, verses 11 and 12. Look at this. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy. You know what his mercy is? Mercy is where you don't get what you deserve. That's what mercy is. So great is his mercy towards those who fear him. Next verse, watch this. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgression from us. Wow. Bible says that God has thrown our sins into the lake of forgetfulness. Amen. Aren't you glad that God, sometimes we remember our sin more than God remembers our sin. But listen, but when you feel that grace, you didn't deserve it, It's not because of something you did. All you did was accept it. It'll cause you to walk in this humility that says, God, can I help? Can I do something to serve? I want to be part of this. You did something for me. I want to help bring people into the family of God. Number four, and I just have two more left quickly. Number four, when you start to understand the goodness of God towards us, the genuine goodness of God towards us, when you start to understand God is a good God, when you start to really understand the goodness of God, that, watch this. See, all eyes up here. Follow me in this. Here's what happens. You're asked to do something that your flesh doesn't want to do. Right? And what you think is because it's counterintuitive. You think, I want to do that. You know what I mean? I don't have time to do that. You know, get somebody else to do that. Okay, watch this. But when you finally come up to this realization that God is good towards you. Can I tell you about God? God will never ask you to do something that won't be a benefit to you. Can I tell you what the underlining thing is? See, the underlining thing is you think, and we all think this way to some extent, we all have this underlining misunderstanding of who God is. You know, and you have all these untheological people who haven't even read the Bible, like the example I gave you. You know what? And somebody who knows nearly nothing about the character of God. They haven't read the Bible in 10 years. And they're going to stand up and say, let me tell you what, even if I believe, I mean, if you believe in the flood, you know what, that would be a reason to run from God. Because look at all the, and I don't believe it anyway, but if you believe that, look at all the people God killed. See, with no understanding of the character of God, and you take that kind of knowledge of all the junk that has been told you wrongly. Listen, nobody has been told more wrong than God. I mean, been told more wrong things about God. Gets blamed for all kinds of things. Can I defend God for a minute? God is good. All the time, always. There's no evil in him. He's not motivated at all, ever, 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 ever to do anything except love people. Amen. Amen. Well, why is there so much junk going on? If he's loving people, why doesn't... Can I tell you why? Because people make choices. Nations make choices. You know what? You know how many nations make choices? And it ruins things. The Bible says when the ungodly are in power, the people will suffer. There's evil people in this world, and it's the evilness that causes other evil to happen. Well, if God cared, he'd stop it. Oh my goodness. That's my sermon. He's trying to stop it. How's he trying to stop it? Look in the mirror, amen. You are his plan to stop it. Well, I can't do anything. Yes, you can do something. You do a little bit, and I'll do a little bit, and Richard do a little bit, Fred do a little bit, Aline do a little bit. You know what? Everybody, I'm telling you what, you'll be amazed at what we can do to turn things around. And maybe we can't do everything, but we're not called to do everything. We're just called to do what we're supposed to be doing. Does this make sense? Oh my goodness. I just look at you just take Vegas. Just some young lady who comes out to become a film producer. You know what? Goes to Azusa Pacific, gets her education, does an internship here, and then finds out that her calling isn't to come out here and be a film producer. Her calling is to come out here and be a pastor. Yeah. Yeah. How many of God's got a sense of humor? Amen. Amen. But you look at one person, because the truth is, there's nobody. I mean, unless it's your first or second time here, there's really nobody in this congregation who hasn't radically had some part of just Vegas improving the quality of their life. It's totally true. Well, what if we had a church? You know what? I'm just saying, I might feel like I'm going to step on some toes, but you know what? What if every single one of you had the heart that Vegas had towards ministry? Yeah, but Vegas is called the full-time ministry. I'm not even talking about full-time ministry. I'm talking about her heart to minister to people. Because let me tell you about her heart. Her heart is Jesus' heart. And you can be, and I can be just like Moses. Well, I'll get somebody else to do it. But if you start to understand the goodness of God, if you will settle that in your heart, here's what you're going to understand. That God isn't asking you to do something except that he's trying to make your life better. Are you catching this? See, if you understand the goodness of God, God is not saying, you know what, no, run in the street. No, I don't want to run in the street. No, God ain't asking you to run in the street. God is asking you to do something that your flesh might not want to do, but you would be so smart to do that. Hello. Hello. You know what, one time, you know what, a while back, God instructed Tamara and I to start to save a little money to invest. I didn't want to save a little money to invest. It's just funner to spend money, right? He said, no, save some money. And then he asked me to, you know what? And then I remember there was a man who was selling some back in the day when they used to have cassette tapes. Remember this? And I got some cassette tapes on how to invest. And I started saving a little bit of money. Everybody say a little bit of money. And then, you know what? And then the stock market kept on going up. And every time I wanted to invest, he said, no, not now. Not now. Not now. See, but I understood the goodness of God. God is good. Amen. He's good all the time. Stop. Here, help somebody. Stop thinking you know more than God. Stop thinking you know more than God and you're smarter than God and God, you know more and you know what's better for your life. I love you. You don't know what's better for your life. And I don't know what's better for my life. He knows what's best. And it probably only because I did things so wrong, was so selfish for so many years, I finally recognized, duh, you're dingy. Stop running your life. And so as the stock market went up, I wouldn't invest. And I wanted to. He said, no, wait. And then finally he said, invest now. And that was a smart investment. I'm telling you. And when I say smart, I mean so smart. What I'm testifying to you is stop thinking that God in the back of his mind wants to just ruin your party. He doesn't want to ruin your party. He wants to straighten your life. He wants to start giving you friends that are real friends and start improving the relationships that are real relationships and start making your life matter. But you have to settle that God is a good God. And this is my last point, and I'll stop with this. Number five, you ultimately have to recognize, understand a sowing and reaping plan. You have to get a genuine understanding of sowing and reaping. Let's, real quickly, a couple of scriptures. You know what? Mark chapter 4, verse 31-32. He's talking about the kingdom. It's like a mustard seed, which, when it is sown, everybody say, when it is sown. Everybody say, when it is sown. Five times, let's say it, when it is sown. When it is sown, when it is sown, when it is sown, when it is sown, when it is sown. Did you get it? When does this happen? When it's sown. When it is sown on the ground, it is smaller than all the seed, all the seeds on the earth. But when it is sown, when it is sown, you see it again? It grows up. See, you cannot have the reward without the sacrifice. You cannot have the harvest without the investment. You cannot reap until you sow. Paul said it like this. He said, and watch this. And if you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. Well, okay, Pastor, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to eke out just this much time, but be happy with that. Let me tell you what. You do whatever you want to do. You don't want to serve? Don't serve. I can't force you to serve. But at least walk away tonight recognizing that maybe you're in the place you are in your life and it has nothing to do with God not wanting to bless you. It has to do with you resisting God. Because you know what the reality is? You know what? That this great, and watch what happens. Watch what happens. And it becomes greater than all the herbs and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may rest under its shade. Why? You know what? People come to this church. I'm not saying we have the best church in the world. You know what? Maybe the second or third best, but I don't know. I'm partial. I'm sorry. I love this church. But I'm saying, here's what I'm saying to you. Listen to me. Here's what I'm saying. You know what? It's not coincidental. It's coincidental. It's purposeful. Because when God called us here, Tamara and I said yes. And it didn't look like this in any stretch of the means. But we came here. Why? Because God called us here. See, we believed in the goodness of God. We knew that God was good. We knew that he was right. And so all the years that I was bivocational, and it seemed like, everybody say it seemed like. It seemed like there wasn't a lot of things happening, but we didn't look at that which is seen. For that which is seen is temporary, but that which is unseen is what is it? It is eternal. And we saw that which wasn't seen. Is it coincidental? And I'm not here to brag. I'm not trying to brag. I'm just saying that there's no pastor in Pico Rivera that I believe wouldn't trade like that for this church, to be pastoring this church. Why? Because let me tell you why. Because Tamara and I had the willingness to, when nobody was willing to pick weeds out in the parking lots that had cracks all over. How many know we have a big parking lot? How many know a big parking lot has a lot of weeds? When nobody else was willing to do it, we did it. One time Tamara was driving home, and we had to do all this sanding. I say we, but you know what I mean? But you said, well, sounds like she was doing all the work. Well, I was doing a bunch of the work too, because I was at Albertsons, amen? I would have been here if I could have been here. But she had a willingness, we both did. And she's doing all the sanding, and you know how many know when you sand drywall, what happens? You get covered in dust. And at 2 o'clock in the morning, she gets pulled over with the police officer because she was swaying. She'd fallen asleep. 2 o'clock in the morning, been up since six. You know what I mean? And so, you know what? The officer, may I have your driver's license? She rolls down her window, and this officer is looking at this blonde with a bunch of, where did you come from, lady? You come from some wild, crazy party? You're you know what? What's going on? No, Pastor, I can't. No, officer. I came from church. I was doing sanding. Oh my goodness, who can come up with a lie that good? You know what I mean?
crazy?
Here's what I'm saying. Here's what I'm saying. Guys, if you don't sow, you're not going to reap. God isn't asking you to do something because he doesn't love you. He's asking you to do something because he does love you. That's what I'm saying. So ultimately, you've got to understand that God is a good God and you're going to reap what you sow. And look what happens. Oh, here's the part. And watch what happens. And all the birds of the air may nest under her shade. Now, maybe we don't have all the birds yet, but how many know we got a lot of birds resting in this nest now? Amen. Why? Because somebody was willing to sow. And that tree is now happening. Galatians chapter 6, starting with verse 4 and 9. This isn't for the faint of heart. Listen to this. Let each one examine his own work. Could we do this tonight? Could you examine your work and qualify how much of your work is about building your kingdom? And how much of your work is about building his kingdom? Can I ask you the original question? What if I made myself available to God? At one point, you know what God says to Israel? He says, hey, Israel, how come when I go to your houses, they're all nice? But when I come to the temple, it's all falling apart. So, yeah, but Pastor, this place isn't falling apart. No. Just because the building looks nice doesn't mean we don't have a lot of things to do. We have a ton of work to do. Let each one examine his own work. And then he will have rejoice in himself. Watch this. In himself what? What's he saying? Here's what he's saying. I don't mean to pick on Richard, but he's in the front row today. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, Richard, it doesn't make any difference what Marilyn did this week in the kingdom of God. Because what we have to tend to say, oh, praise God. You know, look at, here, a great example. Oh, look at the interns. Interns are great. Stop it. The interns are great. But the interns are great for the interns. Does that make sense? You see that what God's saying? Guys, stop it. Let each one examine his own work. Stop thinking, you know what? Yeah, but Pastor, you know, we are family. No, listen. You are going to reap what you sow. I hung out for a long time. I'm like, yeah. My dad's a tither. And at one point, I was about 20-something years old, in my early 20s, and the Holy Spirit busted me one Saturday. He said, hey, your dad's a tither. You ain't a tither. See, I thought because my dad was a tither that I was a tither. And the Holy Spirit just totally busted me and said, that's what we think. We think because we have good interns, awesome interns that serve, we think that we serve. No, I love you guys. And I don't know who serves and who doesn't. But I'm saying, no, they serve. Don't mix the two up. Let each examine his own work. And then he may rejoice in himself alone and not in another. God wants you to rejoice and say, I'm doing something to build the kingdom of God. Are you seeing this? I'm doing something. He wants you to be proud of what you're doing. Next verse. For each shall bear his own load. God says, how many know God is so awesome? Because he's straight up. He's saying, Richard, you know what? Listen, the interns can't bear your load. I love the interns, but Tamara and I recognize at some point in time, I'm just telling you what Tamara and I felt like the Holy Spirit was telling us. The interns are a hindrance in this church in some ways. Or did somebody come to hear the truth tonight? Because they do so much work that it can make us not responsible for our work. I'm just telling you what the Holy Spirit shared with us. Next verse. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Hallelujah. It's just the Bible. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, shall he reap. Don't kid yourself. The interns work, and what they do, you can't reap what they do. Let each man examine his own work. And I think the last verse, go to the next verse. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will the Spirit reap everlasting life. Can I tell you what? Stop looking at God when he asks you to do something like he's the mean person. No, he's the nice person. His commandments are not burdensome. If you're not involved, get involved. If you're involved, but you're involved minimally, then crank it up. You know what? You're going 30 in an 80-mile zone. Amen? Amen? Father, I pray that this word would be encouraging to us. And I pray, Father, that we would be a church where we would be available. Each one of us would say, God, I want to be available to you. How do you want me to live my life? How do you want me to serve? I thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Can you say amen?